This church is a miracle. We take it for granted. It's been here as long as we can remember. It's here whenever we really need it. But this church is in fact a miracle. I was reminded of that by a conversation I had at the reception following the memorial service for Bill Noble. A man named Gary Keekley was reminding me that his father had been a charter member. And when I came here and I met the elder Mr. Keekley, who went by the name Keek, he was already probably close to 90 years old. He had been a member at Lakewood Presbyterian Church until the mid-1950s. And according to his son Gary, one day Keek asked a simple question. Why isn't there a Presbyterian church in Rocky River? There's one in Bay Village. There are three in Lakewood. Why not Rocky River? And from that simple question, a miracle occurred. God moved the hearts and hands of many people to invest a lot of time and labor to lay the groundwork for chartering a Presbyterian congregation in this town. People put their faith into action by devoting countless hours and sharing hard-earned treasures. They were motivated by a vision. They wanted to serve God through bringing together a fellowship of like-minded souls and raising up from the earth an edifice to serve as their spiritual home. Just as God created the heavens and the earth ex nihilo, out of nothing, God worked through people as ordinary as you and me to create this fellowship of believers in this sanctuary of praise and prayer. This church is a miracle. But we might say that God is in the miracle business. During this season of stewardship commitment, I've used as our theme a phrase from the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians. That's where Paul gives thanks to God for believers who put their faith into practice. The artwork that has appeared in this year's stewardship campaign materials and on the bulletin covers, including this morning, that artwork suggests a familiar story about putting one's faith into practice. In Matthew's gospel, the disciples are alone in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night, and suddenly they see what appears to be Jesus coming toward them. To their astonishment, it looks like Jesus is actually walking on the water. When they call out to him in disbelief, Jesus confirms, "It is I." And Peter replies, "Lord, if it's really you, order me to come out on the water with you." "Come," Jesus answers. And the artwork depicts Peter putting his faith into practice as he straddles the boat's starboard gunwale and prepares to step out onto the water with Jesus. I was studying that story as an example of the courageous act of putting your faith into practice. When you study Bible passages, it's often helpful to put the passage into context by reading what comes after and what comes before the passage. The passage after the walking on water story is simply a brief mention of Jesus healing some people who weren't Jewish. But the passage that comes before the walking on water story is one of the stories of Jesus feeding the multitudes. So let's take a moment to recall that story. Jesus had tried to go away by himself, a little alone time to recharge his batteries. But the crowds were so anxious to see him and hear him and be healed by him that they managed to find out where Jesus had retreated to. And Jesus couldn't help but feel compassion for the crowds, and so he healed the sick among them. And at one point, the disciples tried to come to his aid. They told Jesus, "Look how late it is, way past dinner time, and we're in the middle of nowhere. These people, they need to go where they can get themselves something to eat. Tell them you're done for the night and that they should go home." But Jesus looked at his followers. "They don't have to go anywhere," he said. You give them their food for tonight." I can imagine the disciples were thinking things like, "Are you kidding? Do we look like caterers to you? We struggle to pack our own lunches. How are we supposed to feed, what, maybe 5,000 guys, plus women and kids?" Something like that's probably what they were thinking. What they said, according to Matthew's gospel, what they said was, "All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish. To me, that sounds like their way of declaring, "This is not our problem. There's nothing we can do about this. We don't begin to have what it would take to deal with this situation." But Jesus gave them the chance to put their faith into practice. "The fishes, those loaves, bring them to me." Jesus thanked God for blessing them with food, broke up the fish and the bread, gave it all to the disciples to distribute, and you know the rest. Everyone was fed with food to spare. Jesus enabled his disciples to experience putting their faith into practice. They put their faith into practice by sharing what was theirs for the good of the community. God blesses us with the opportunity to put our faith into practice through this miracle, this church, this fellowship, this community founded on faith. Our faith grows stronger, becomes more effective as we put that faith into practice. Each of us puts our faith into practice by sharing and supporting the work and the outreach of this church. None of us does it all. We do it together. Neither you nor I is able on our own to have the snow always plowed, and to buy Sunday school curriculum, and to support local and global Presbyterian mission, and to pay for the water and gas and sewer and electricity, and to underwrite the cost of live music in worship, and to fund the expenses of our weekly youth fellowship groups, our adult education, our Sunday school, our confirmation program, vacation Bible school, youth mission trips, and cover the cost of maintaining the computer network that our office depends on, and pay the salaries of the people whose work supports our church, and pick up the tab for maintaining the building and grounds, and you can keep adding to that list. None of us does that all by ourselves. We all do it together. The letter of James that Emily read laid it on the line to the people in those earliest Christian communities. As we heard earlier, he wrote, "My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? I will show you my faith by my actions." Just like he had the disciples do in the midst of that hungry multitude, Jesus calls us to bring together what we have with faith in God's constant, gracious, and generous provision. We put our faith into practice with an annual pledge and with weekly or monthly offerings. We surrender a portion of what we often call mine. We combine those gifts to make them ours. And we offer our gifts to God joyfully and gratefully as our response to God's overwhelming love and care for us. And that is how we put our faith into practice. Amen.